He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's election day, right? Somewhere. That's election day somewhere. I know we've got a few elections here in our neck of the woods. It is 11-7. That's a lucky number, 2023. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. We've got the pretty good start, kind of a lukewarm start to the market. We're off to a pretty good start. We've got a couple of big winners out of the gate here so far that we'll be talking about here in a minute. The Dow is up just 8 points. It's at 34,104, but the NASDAQ is up 53 as the market returns to growth stocks. And that's a result of interest rates dropping. The NASDAQ is at 13,571. It's up 40 basis points. The S&P up 8 basis points. A lot of weakness in the oil patch today. S&P up 43.69. Where will it end the year? I'm going to have to go back and look and see what our calculation was. I think we're pretty close. We're very close to where it is now. I'll go back and look and see what we had on January 1st of this year. Small caps down 60 basis points. Crude oil taking a hit today, down 237. That's a 3% drop. Gold is down $22. It looks like Israel's going to make pretty quick work. Well, I wouldn't say that, but they have got Gaza enclosed, that northern area. The 10-year is at 4.61 right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And, you know, after last week's very unexpected oversized move, which I think included a lot of short covering, there was some nitrogen in the gas of the market last week that really boosted it. And I think it came from short covering when the Fed came out dovish. And when we had, you know, the Treasury needing to borrow as much as we expected and the refunding not as big as expected. And that just caused the market. The short sellers panicked. The people that were sitting on the sidelines panicked, and they got in. The short sellers covered, and we had a huge outsized move in the market. I said on Friday in the newsletter, I think the market's going to cool down a little bit this week. And so far it has, at least through the first 2 days of this new week. But we are today.
And all the news last week just kind of, you know, it was like you said, it was almost that, you know, Goldilocks kind of, you know, not too hot, not too cold, and kind of, you know, kind of kept the path, and the market was pretty darn resilient during that time. What we had it's 7 days in a row streak right now for the NASDAQ and six days for the S&P. So
yes, that soft landing could be in sight. The 10-year was up 10 basis points yesterday, but that's a product of an overheated bond market too.
Yeah, and the Treasury's floating. I think it's close to 100. I think it's close to 100. Billion in debt.
What's another 100 billion?
I think we got 40 billion in 10-year notes tomorrow. I think there's 40 billion in notes coming today, and then maybe another 20 or so later in the week.
They could say 100 billion is just a drop in the bucket when you got right. 33 trillion out there. It's just a drop in the bucket. The two stocks that stood out to me yesterday. Lilly had a huge day, up 4%. Now, someone told me, I don't watch Jim Cramer in the afternoon. I'm usually done working by that point in time. But someone told me that Jim Cramer said, never sell Lilly. Well, I hope Jim Cramer didn't just call a top in Lilly, because he's got a horrible track record from my point of view. But he says that is the biggest drug of all time. That's Jim Cramer. And, of course, Lilly had a huge day, but that was before Jim Cramer's comments. Let's see if he's moving the stock today at all. Lilly is, Kramer doesn't have the firepower he used to have. It's only up 80 basis points today. And I thought Booking.com really stood out yesterday. It's still one of the great stocks of all time. It's the old price line. You know, who's the Star Trek guy, Martin? No, you know, the Star Trek guy that was.
Not Sheen. No, not. Hang
me.
On. Shatner. Yes.
William Shatner made much more with his Priceline stock than he ever made on Star Trek.
And Ann Bezos sent him to space. Remember, he was in the back of the Rivian shot up in the rocket.
So Booking had a very good day yesterday. Those were the two best stocks, and those are two of our biggest holdings. Lilly is our biggest holding by far, and they had a good day. We had a good day. We're having a good day today. We'll get to the reason why here in a bit. So you had the market marginally higher yesterday, pretty quiet, after the best week of the year. Just when the market was stretched to the max, to the downside, and had entered correction territory, and wasn't far from bear market territory, if you'd have got a...
Technically, it was like you said.
Moving
average on the
crossover. Yeah. It's still pretty close. The Dow is very close, but hanging in there. It snapped back from oversold condition. And I say all along, you know, it's going to snap back. Earnings will win out at some point in time. But that war in Israel was weighing, I think it was weighing very heavily on the market. There's still a lot of what ifs.
Oil prices are, I mean, it's just wild to see, you know, what, under 80 right now, 78, you know, handle on oil, given, right? I mean, just what, you know, what's occurring in the world. It's just, it tells you that the market gets desensitized at things.
Yes.
Over time. I
gold
mean, really
has
does.
Cooled off. Yeah. Oil has cooled off. And I think with them having the northern part of the Gaza Strip completely surrounded now, it doesn't look like, you know, Hamas is going to win this war. We don't know how many of them have escaped into the south. You know, they provided some exit routes, safe routes, but I know that you think you have to go through a bomb detector and all of this at the airport. Those guys had to go through a lot, including interrogations, before they let them down into that southern area of Gaza. It doesn't look like the Hezbollah. I think Hezbollah knows that they'd be up against a very tough foe if they took on Israel from that northern border. So, you know, things have quieted down a little bit, and it doesn't look like it's going to expand. At least as of now,
get a dose of reality, right? I mean, if you're, you know, I mean, it's just in terms of, you know, human nature. If you're on the, you know, if you're on the Hezbollah side, you're seeing what's happening, to Hamas, and it's maybe not the right time to raise our hand for the shoot over here. I would imagine.
But you just from a logical point of view, you look at all the advanced weaponry that Israel has.
Well, and they've showed a lot of restraint over the years, in my opinion. You know, the fact that you have that, you know, that arsenal, right, and essentially, you know, use it, you know, almost use it whenever you, you know, feel like you have to. But other than that, I mean, you know, it's a powerful, like I said, I always say I grew up between two Air Force bases, and it's, you know, I couldn't imagine if you had those planes flying, you know, weren't your own, right, flying over you.
So. And on the other side, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys on motorcycles with rocket-propelled grenades, right? And 98% of their missiles are shot down. So, I mean, how do you win? I mean, how do you get the upper hand? And I think the market realizes that, okay? The hostage thing is still a big, big deal. They have to step very carefully. I'm hoping for a miracle, right? Just some kind of miracle that those hostages are freed or or they find them or whatever, you know, like the raid on Untab many years ago. We'll see.
The good news is, I guess, it seems that they seem to know, you know, how many there are, right?
Boy, so, right down to the number.
Right. So from that standpoint, at least, you know, you would imagine there's been, you know, I guess there's some kind of proof of life or some kind of, you know, discussion, right, behind the scenes.
Well, so I think they've identified by talking to the families on this side of the fence of who's missing, and they've got a pretty good handle. Okay, the earnings today, Lucid will report. Ah, that's a company in trouble from my point of view. I think the electric vehicle, especially the startups like Lucid, they have a huge uphill battle. Occidental Petroleum will report. Uber has already reported. The Datadog has reported, and it's barking to the upside here. And Robinhood and a few others here. I mean, most of the big ones have reported, but, you know, they all add up. And then we'll look at tomorrow when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just a few other earnings to watch out for this week. Disney reports tomorrow, big member of the Dow. We'll see where they're at. Beyond Meat, a trend that quite hasn't stuck. You know, there was a lot of hope, but now there's a lot of competition. It's hard to get any margins out of it. And I would not say that the buying public has really, accepted it wholeheartedly. You know, it's tough. It's a tough go. You got Callaway reporting. You got Kellogg. This is all tomorrow. Twilio, Virgin Galactic, Biogen. Tomorrow's a big day, actually. Fisker, Under Armour. Take-Two Interactive, we've got HubSpot, which is a very good software company, and a few others. Then on Thursday, it starts to cool down, Plug Power, SoundHound, which is a big AI play, Li Auto, Chinese electric cars, Illumina, member of the S&P 500, Blink Charging. Let's see.
Some higher PE names there.
Yes, sounds, and then like, on Friday, you can pretty much tie a bow around earnings season after Friday. There's still quite a few stragglers, but most of the big ones have reported. The trade in goods deficit widens more than expected in September. I also saw that China's surplus shrinks in October as their exports fall further while imports surge unexpectedly.
Yeah, so so in terms of, you know, kind of had a lot more, you know, imports than exports, which is kind of an interesting dynamic for China. And,
very interesting.
Point, so.
And you know what? I mean, China, when China's quiet, you know things are pretty bad. And I think their economy is a lot worse off than we realize, because they were pretty draconian, of course, on the COVID lockdowns and everything.
From COVID, and then I feel like, you know, supply chains have branched out from beyond parts of from China, right? Partly, primarily because of COVID.
I mean, yes,
you've got a lot of.
They moved to India, Vietnam, other places in the world, diversifying away.
Yeah, you take India, for example. I think, when the newest iPhone came out, I think it was the first time that, you know, new handsets that initially came from India. In other words, it used to just come from China first, and then eventually they would branch out production after, you know, the initial rollout to other countries that build them. But, yeah, they actually used some Indian phones right off the bat this go-around. So that tells you that, you know, there are folks who are spreading out investment, because it's been hard to invest in China.
Yes, very difficult. And then you've got their whole real estate issue, where you've got those two big real estate developers basically underwater. I mean, they're basically got so much debt They'll never climb out. And then you've got the Chinese consumer. I mean, the only gauge we get is like Tesla sales in China and Apple sales to the consumer in China. But I think overall things are pretty weak over there. What's the most important stock in the world right now? Well, okay,
I think Evercore came to the same conclusion we did.
Not only did I in my article say it's the most, I said it's the best stock in the world right now. Now you could make an argument for Lilly, which has come along here recently. And maybe Novo Nordisk with these weight loss drugs, but the best earnings report I ever saw since I've been in the business came from NVIDIA. And Evercore was looking, they were doing technical analysis, just like I do. Support holds, that's technical support, for the most important stock in the world. Some would say Tesla. But, you know, NVIDIA with the artificial intelligence, they say that lines have held for NVIDIA and for the S&P 500. So if I look at the S&P 500 right now, the technical support it has. I mean, I had a line in the sand drawn. I sent it out to the subscribers, our subscribers and clients during the day, I think. Last week, I said, you know, you just have to be aware. This was before the big jump last week. We're very close to violating some very important technical lines in the sand. The biggest one was the Dow, which came very close. It did pierce below its 200-day moving average there.
An intraday, right?
And it's still below, actually, its 200-day moving average, but... my line in the sand, my line in the sand held. It did violate it one day. Okay, one day. You have to give it a little break. If it's just one day, you have to kind of watch, is it going to follow through? But no, that line in the sand held. And the Dow has jumped quite a bit since then. But it also held for NVIDIA. And it also held for the bond market. But I just want to tell you, we were really, really close. Like a trapeze artist with a net underneath him, that's the support level, and that trapeze artist is wobbling, you know, ready to fall. It held, okay? It held. Or he falls off, and the net catches him, and it holds. And they call NVIDIA the most important stock in the world. That comes from Evercore, which is a pretty big, you know, research house. Intel Gains, a CEO, says the 18A chip design is moving to production next year. I think that's their AI chip, right? I'll have to look that up. But 18A is racing to production. And, you know, Intel has been, it's definitely got new life. This stock has new life. It hit $24 a share last year, and it's up about 60% from its low. Intel has a very healthy chart. Its relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99, it's in the 94th percentile of all the stocks in the market as far as performance and momentum go right
now. And it's been a while since it's been there. I mean, it's a
long time. I mean, it was flat on its back for a long time while NVIDIA and AMD have just been running circles around it. Well, okay, Intel is making a move here. You can't ignore it. It's a dividend payer. The dividend yield on Intel right now is 1.3%. So keep your eye. We've kept our eye on Intel. It's still hard to predict a growth rate going forward. That's where I struggle.
Describe it as it's always ends up being, you know, one of those stocks that are kind of, you know, in the corner of your eye, right?
Yes.
Lately, and you know, and like you say, can't argue with the performance. So,
well, giving it the benefit of the doubt, I can see about 65% upside potential from here, and I like 75 or more. So it just doesn't quite meet my valuation criteria, but it has a very healthy chart and a lot of positive sentiment these days. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We got a little bit of lift underneath the market right now, with the Dow now up 64, the NASDAQ up 105. And it'll be interesting when we go underneath the surface of those indexes, take a deep dive and a look at what is moving the NASDAQ here today. Okay,
Intel story. The Intel's, kind of getting moved, I guess, by the fact that they're a contender to get, billions for some defense chip facility. So, little government, nothing like a little government contract to sweeten things up a little bit. Right?
Now, here's some news on the most important stock in the world today, Baidu, which is the Chinese. They've got their own version of AI. And, of course, they're not allowed by the U.S. government to use NVIDIA chips, right?
Yeah, the Google of China, basically, right?
Yeah, I think theirs is called Ernie.
That's right. Yeah.
They have to move away from NVIDIA chip amid U.S. curbs. It can't be that big of a deal because NVIDIA stock is not exactly plunging on this news. NVIDIA stock is up $1.28. But, and NVIDIA has said we're going to miss the business there, but it's not going to really impact us in the short term, our bottom line. Well, America is bowling, I guess. I remember watching Bowling for Dollars. There was a famous sportscaster, Barry, that did all of the Laker games. Chick Hearn. I mean, he was a legend, the Hall of Fame broadcasting, and he also, his side job was doing Bowling for Dollars, right? It was a game show, and guy would come up from, Hoboken, New Jersey or whatever, with a shirt with his name on it and get one shot at it and win some kind of a prize. Bolero is up 6% today. You know what they are? They're a consolidator of bowling alleys.
That's interesting. I mean, I'll tell you right now, last time I took our three boys, we took, took the three, the whole, basically took the family bowling. It was, I felt like I almost just walked out of Disney World. Like, it wasn't cheap, put it that way. I was surprised.
It's not cheap for a lane and some food and shoes rental and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I think it was two games, and I was like, really, for two games? I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like we could have just bought a bowling alley and put it in the backyard or something.
Yeah, I took lessons. My best buddy, we had the summer off, and our mothers enrolled us in bowling school, and I just remember 1, 2, 3 slide. 1, 2, 3 slide. It never really worked out for me. I was never much...
I'm more of the Fred Flintstone style, like the twinkle toes kind of.
Okay, here's your stock of the day, Datadog. One of my favorite names, invest. I would love to be their advertising guy. Invest in the dog. Nobody does it better than the Datadog. It's software. It's a cloud application used by enterprises. And this is lifting the other software stocks today. After Fortinet on Friday was a big disaster in the software. That's cyber. Tomorrow you're going to get Hubs, which is a very important stock in software. Palo Alto Networks is a very, but this is Datadog. They're not in the cybersecurity. They're more in helping enterprises. Look at that stock today, up 30% on just a blowout earnings by DDOG, the dog, the Datadog. Now, you would get some argument from Seeking Alpha if I said, what's the most important stock in the world? Right? You'd have a whole different opinion on Seeking Alpha.
Yeah, it'd be a single letter, right?
I've got to look and see how many articles are out there today on Realty Income, because they reported today. And for whatever reason, that is the darling. That is the darling stock of, the number one story on Seeking Alpha today. Realty Income delivers stellar Q3. I guess it'll be tomorrow when all the articles really start to come out on Realty Income. I knew Realty Income way before, when it was still in its mother's womb, really, before it ever hit Seeking Alpha. I've known Realty Income since the early 2000s, probably for 20 years. I knew about Realty Income 20 years ago because it was out of Escondido, California, which is in San Diego. Their rep visited us many times at our place. I should have just put everything I had into Realty Income at that time and just forgot about it, because it's been pretty good over the years. But now it struggles because it's it's in bricks and mortar. They own bricks and mortar is what they do, and that's a more difficult business than it used to be. Well, they reported earnings. They beat by a couple of pennies. They've never been real flashy, driven by some acquisition volume. I did note that the dividend yield is up to 6.1%, but this stock, while interest rates have been going up, this stock began the year, up around the 70s, and now it's at 50. So from 50, or from 70 down to 50, that's a 28% drop. So that 6% dividend yield dries up very quickly.
Yeah, I think it's down 21% total return, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you have to look at total return. Yeah. Well, I got 6% in dividend yield, but you lost 28% in your principal. Does that matter to you? When you open up your statement and you look at the bottom line, you had $100,000, just using that as an example, and now you have $72,000. Plus 6%, so you have 78,000, right? 79,000 instead of 100,000. Well, if you invested that in a stock that didn't pay a dividend, you'd say, man, that's a dog of a stock.
Yeah, and see, but in the past, too, you would, those names would benefit, right, from, say, a drop in interest rates. But, long term, some of those properties, there's a lot of obsolescence in there. Just in that space in general, as we've heard about most, commercial, whether it's commercial real estate, in terms of offices or in terms of strip malls, right? Long term, they're growing by acquisition, which kind of works until it doesn't, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, we've talked about the most important stock in the world, the most important stock on Seeking Alpha. Here's the ones that, for me, are the biggest defiers of gravity. It just, with interest rates where they're at, a 30-year loan costing almost 8%, the home builders. I gave up on Pulte Homes because I got really worried about that 30-year interest rate mortgage. And Pulte has done very well since I sold it. D.R. Horton today is up 3%. The relative strength is 91. They had a very good earnings, and they're saying, D.R. Horton says, demand is holding up. D.R. Horton reported better than expected revenue and earnings for the last quarter of its fiscal year, as demand for homes was supported by demographic trends. Well, that's people leaving certain states, moving to other states, even as mortgage rates remain elevated. despite continued higher mortgage rates and inflationary pressure, our net sales orders increased 39% from the previous year, said Chairman Donald R. Horton. The cancellation rate is 20%. That increased by 18%. That means, you know, somebody probably got turned down for the loan after putting a deposit down. Okay, here's one that's reported earnings. The reason I mention this stock is because it's the biggest winner over the last 12 months, Soleno Therapeutics.
I thought you were about to say Celsius again.
What, today's everything in the biggest of this. Soleno is the biggest winner. I think it's up 2,000% over the last 12 months. It's down 20 cents today. Uber, how did Uber do? Uber is up, you know, a little bit. They had a pretty good report. And we will get to Celsius, but first I want to talk about Oscar. Oscar Health. That's one of the, I'm calling that the second biggest stock of the day. We own Oscar Health. I've talked, I wrote an article. I don't know if I wrote an article about it, but the CEO that took Aetna to be bought out by CVS went to a little company called Oscar Health. It's up 18.4% today. Big, big move. And last but not least is Celsius, the drinker, the energy drink. It's flat on the day after reporting earnings. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we pretty much have a tech rally taking place today. While the oil stocks are selling off, they've been pretty weak here the last couple of weeks, maybe the last 3 weeks or so. It's the tech stocks and the vacation stocks that seem to be the best today. On the Dow, for instance, the three best performing stocks today come from the tech sector. In Intel, which is up 2.2%, they're moving full steam ahead on their new chip. Salesforce, number two, is up 2.2%. Microsoft is up 1.1%. On the downside for the Dow, the oil components in the Dow. Chevron down 2.1%. ExxonMobil down 1.9%. In the S&P 500, I mentioned what a good day, Booking.com. I mean, they're the king. When it comes to travel, I mean, they came up with an idea. Changed it a little bit over time as to what they do. I've always had really good luck with doing a trip through Booking.
Me as well. Yeah.
So they're up another $42 a share today. TripAdvisor's up 6.8. Expedia's up 5.4.
Just when you thought everyone was done spending money and traveling, right?
Well, this bodes well for the consumer.
Right,
the consumer's 80% of the economy.
Right.
And, vacation, leisure time, spending money. Traveling is a big part of it. And those two stocks having a good day. And then in the tech sector, in the S&P 500, Adobe is having a good day.
Yeah, AMD's having a pretty good one too, tacking on another couple of percent after that kind of important earnings report, where they were one of those names that were on the cusp of breaking support.
Yes.
And they could have gone either way. So
I had a line, when I actually draw the line in the sand on my chart, that means they're getting very close, dangerously close to breaking technical support. Now, the opposite of breaking technical support is breaking through technical resistance. And the one that's doing it today in just an amazing move is Adobe. And we own Adobe in the Ultra Growth portfolio. Adobe, look at that. That is a beautiful. Okay. If you want to say, what is Gunderson? You know, looking at charts and technical analysis and whatnot is the third, fourth leg of the stool I stand on. That's the last one I look at. Valuation, sentiment, and relative strength, etc. Adobe is a picture-perfect breakout. So just like you would draw a line, a trend line, here's if the stock breaks below this, that would be a breakdown. Well, on the opposite side, you draw a line. Every time this stock has hit about 570 or so, it's pulled back. That's a ceiling. It keeps bumping its head on that ceiling. Boom, today, 587, that's what we call a breakout. I love breakouts, okay, in the stock market. And Adobe is an excellent example. It's the leading tech stock in the S&P 500 today. And then, of course, D.R. Horton is also, like I mentioned, having a good day. That's a breakout on D.R. Horton. Not to new all-time highs, but through technical resistance. And as I look, the biggest winner here today, I don't know that much about this stock, Transmedic. I know that they have a warm blood perfusion system that allows for living organ transplants. So obviously, you know, somebody who needs a new liver, somebody who needs a new heart, somebody who needs a new kidney. This company is involved in that process. It's been under heavy pressure, but, oh, man, all of a sudden, it's up 55% today. TMDX, Transmedic. And then the second biggest winner, already mentioned, Datadog.
Software stocks are having a
big
solid
time.
Day. Yeah.
And then the third biggest winner of note is Oscar Health.
Yeah.
And Oscar is the CEO. I can't think of his name offhand, but he led. I made a lot of money with him with Aetna, which eventually was bought out by CVS, okay? So he took a few years off. And, you know, people that build things, they get restless. You know, they can't sit on the pier and fish the rest of their life. They're restless. They like build. So he went to work as the CEO of Oscar Health. And it also has some pretty good connections. The Kushners, I think Jared Kushner's brother or something, there's a lot of connections there for Oscar. It's a little one, OSCR, $1.5 billion. But it's up 19.4%.
A little bit bigger after today.
Yes, out of New York. We own it in our emerging growth portfolio. It's small. It's $1.5 billion. You know, you put that up against Adobe is $295 billion. Hopefully, Oscar will do that.
Yeah, I was just looking at the market cap. I was just looking at Adobe's market cap, I was blown away by
that's
how
one of the
I
great stocks of all big, time. Yeah. It was a total disruptor with their PDF and Acrobat and, of course, Photoshop. All right. Well, you know what? If you're not getting the newsletter every week, we're pointing out stuff like this every single week. You don't hear about this. I watch CNBC from time to time. They're talking about IBM or something. I don't know. They just seem to be kind of missing the real action in the market. It's underneath the surface. You have to dig for it. We talk about it every week in the newsletter, just reading through the highlights from our radio show in the first part of the newsletter. You get all kinds of ideas that we're watching, turnarounds at Burger King and Ghost Pepper burgers and whatnot. That thing was
Whopper.
Really good. I'm just telling you. I don't know if it's still on the menu.
I was telling someone else your story yesterday.
Yeah, it was delicious, man. And I don't say that very often. Okay, if you want to set up an appointment with us, if you want to get the newsletter coming every week, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. And if you want to set up an appointment with us, if you're sick of the mediocrity on Wall Street, Give us a call. Talk to us. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.